Good afternoon, beloved. It is again Word on Wednesday, and we are grateful that you tuned in with us this afternoon. I pray that your day is going well, and I pray that as we study God's Word today, that He may give you what you need in order to be good soldiers of the cross. Let me just pause for a moment and thank Perseus. He had to teach for me a couple of Wednesdays ago, and I thank God for his faithful teaching, faithfulness to God's Word, as well as last week, I think it was, yeah, we had Thanksgiving service. Yes, that was, I knew it was something. So I pray that you're tuning back in with us. We're still on a series entitled Getting to Know God, Getting to Know God Better. And I pray you've been following along with us. Today, we want to deal with another theological term in regards to God. And this is the immutability of God. And we'll define all of that. God never changes. And there are some benefits to the fact that God never changes, and that's what we want to look at. All these theological terms that we look at, the goal is for us to look at it from a practical standpoint. How does these theological terms how do these theological terms apply to my own life in a practical way? And so that's what we're looking at. These are big theological terms. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's got all power, all knowing. He's everywhere at the same time. And now this immutability. We've heard the word. We got to understand, how does that relate to me? So let's pray. We'll jump right in it. Most gracious and eternal Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your kindness, your grace, your love, your everlasting mercy. You are a good and kind and gracious God. And we are so grateful that we are in relationship with you. Thankful for what Christ did for us on Calvary, bringing the opportunity for us to enter into relationship with you. And because of that, oh God, we realize that you have a plan and a purpose for our life. And so we're grateful, even as we study your word, study the immutability. We are grateful that we're able to be led down into the deep treasures of your word, that we might know how to live and respond according to your word, and that our lives may bring glory and honor to you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Now stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, and touch these lips of clay that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. Hide me behind the cross, O God, that they may see none of me but all of thee. We'll be careful to give you all praise, all glory, all honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise be to God. Hopefully you've downloaded the outline from the website, and we'll walk through probably this whole outline today if the Lord says the same. I'm going to do my best to try to get through this whole outline today. So I need your prayers, all right? Listen, we are in an ever-changing world. If we look at our lives, there are certain things that we have today that we didn't have 10 and 20 years ago. Things are changing. Even if you got an iPhone a couple of years ago, it is probably obsolete in a sense, because they're coming out with new iPhones every day, or God forbid you're an Android user. I'm just playing. They're coming out with new technologies, and it's ever changing. Things are changing at a rapid pace, even in our society, and even the way, from the way I grew up and the things that were available to me as a child in the 80s, as a youth in the 80s and late 70s. Now things have changed drastically from the things that are available, readily available to our youth and our children today. So it's a changing world, constantly changing when it comes to technology and when it comes to the pace of our world. Things have even just, I mean, you look at Sacramento. The Sacramento that I grew up in is definitely not the Sacramento that is today. I mean, when I grew up here, I mean, you didn't know of all of the other areas like Roseville and Folsom and Granite Bay, and I went out there since I've been back, and I've seen all of how, you know, the area has changed. A lot of that stuff used to be a lot of farmland and all, but it is a rapidly changing city, and the pace of our world and the pace of our city is rapidly changing. And so the ideal that I want to help us to understand today, and that is that when a lot of change comes, even in our own life, you can look at, I'm looking at my own life, and I'm seeing some rapid change I don't like, but it is nonetheless, it's happening. It seems like overnight we were looking at some pictures of my children, and when they were smaller and they were babies, and now they are 16 and 18 and 21, and they're no longer the babies that I had, but it seemed just like yesterday. And so things are just changing rapidly in this world, and even in our personal life, where we are and who we are, just rapidly changing. And so the truth is, how we handle all of this change, it can at times cause stress in our life, because things are just changing so fast, so rapidly in our own life. And one doctor had said that there are 43 different things in life that when it comes in our life, it creates stress. You know, when change comes, it creates sometimes a stressful situation. And, in the midst of all of this stress, these points of stress in our life, people are looking for stability. They're looking for security because things are changing. But where can we find that stability? Where can we find that security in this ever-changing world in which we live in, ever-changing society in which we live in, that can minimize some of our stress? What can we hold on to that will help us in this ever-changing world to help ease some of this stress, something that can help us to be stable and feel secure? What is the one thing that we can hold on to as believers or as individuals? And so the question becomes, is there anything in this world that's permanent? Everything else is changing. Everything else is moving. Everything else is rapidly changing. If you get the 13 this year, the iPhone 13, you can brag for a little while, but it's going to be a 14 out in a minute, or 13B, or whatever, however they do it. To get you to buy into that. So what's permanent? What is the constant that we can cling on to when everything else is changing? What is that one thing? And is there anything that is reliable that never changes? And I'm glad you asked, because the answer is found in James chapter 1, verse 17. It's on your outline. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Watch what the verse says. Who, what? does not change. Did you get that? You see that? It doesn't change like shadows, shifting shadows are. You know, you be walking and you see a shadow and it's there 1 minute and then it's over here. It's just changing. What is the one thing? It's God. God never changes. That is the ideal of immutability. Write that on your outline. God never changes. He is the one stable. That is the word immutability. He does not change. In this ever-changing society where we got all this stuff going on that's moving and changing and shifting, God is immutable. He never changes. He doesn't shift like shadows and you know, he's never changing. He is in this Phillips translation, you'll see it there. With God, there is never the slightest variation or shadow of inconsistency. God is immutable. He never changes. He is always consistent with his nature, with who he is. He is God and God alone, and he never changes. He never shifts. Hello, somebody. He is immutable. That's a good theological word. You can go use it this week on somebody. When you know God is immutable, and you're going to find, what? You know, he never changes. Amen. That's a good word. And we're grateful that in this ever-changing world, we serve a God who never changes. He is the same. Watch what he says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It's on your outline. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. He never changes. He never shifts. He is always the same. Our God has always been, always will be, and always is. He is God, a God who never changed. He is perfect, and we can't get any better than what we got in God already. He is a God who never changes. He can't get better. He can't get worse. He is God, a God who never changes. And because we're imperfect and we're not God, we change. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're changing. Just go look at your pictures. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, amen, 1 year ago, things are changing. I remember a day when I didn't have any gray hair in my head. Help me hear somebody. Bob Dylan sung a song that said, the times, they are a-changing. And, you know, for me, I can say the lines, they are a-changing. My hairline, come on, somebody help me. My credit line, my waistline is changing. Yeah, times don't change, but the lines are changing. Lines are changing. We're changing. But praise be to God, God never changes. You know, we are always changing in the way we think, the way we act, the way we feel. Things change, you know, and our looks change, our talk change, but God never changes. Please, if you're out there, just shout hallelujah. Because God never changes. I am grateful to know that God never changes. Why? Because change can cause stress. It can. Change in our life, you know, you've been married for 40 years or 30 years, and God calls your mate home. Change. And that can cause stress. You've been working at a job for a certain period of time. Either you were laid off or you retired. That change of trying to figure out what the future is going to hold, all of that can cause stress. Even when you look in the mirror and you see yourself getting older or you got health issues that you didn't have before, all that change that's happening to you causes stress. My change is when I'm on the basketball court with these youngsters and I back, you know, I got to go back like Al Bundy. Back in the day, I would have, you know, dropped it on them like it's hot. I wish somebody would help me. But I'm changing. I'm slowed down. My jumper want to work whenever it want to. And I got to constantly try to keep my cardio up. I don't like this change. And I don't like not being able to talk noise on the court because, you know, I'm just changing. Things have changed. And it can cause some stress. I hope you see that. So it causes stress. So today I want to talk about, you know, really how to stabilize our life in the midst of continual change. How do we stabilize our life, not be stressed out from all of this change that's taking place in our life, around us, in us, and through us? How do we stabilize it? How do we add stability to all this stuff that's changing? And I hope we've already settled the fact that there's change is coming. If it ain't here already, it's coming in all of our lives. So here are just three things that I know we can always count on. Number one, on your outline, God's love for me never changes. Put that in that blank. God's love for me never changes. In a world that is constantly changing, it is good to know that God loves me. And that love that he has for me never changes. Look at what the word says. He says in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. His love never changes. Circle that everlasting. It's out underlined for you. But we were created to be loved by God, and we're the object of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are the object of God's love, and his love is consistent. His love is continual. His love for us never changes. And one of the reasons we get so frustrated in our relationships is because people change. Hello, somebody. We're fickle. I remember having a conversation with my daddy, who's gone home to be with the Lord, and me and my daddy was having a serious man-to-man conversation. And so he was telling me about myself, and I was trying to tell him about himself, and we were going, you know, and I said, Pop, one of the challenges is, over this life, you're fickle. And my dad said, fickle? He said, what do you mean I'm fickle? I said, Pop, you do a lot of changing. You're here one minute and you're gone the next. You're here, you're up and you're down, and you're fickle. And so that was our going joke before he went on to be with the Lord a couple of years. He would say, hey, Kenny, I'm doing this such and such. And then he'd call me back and say, hey, I'm not going to do this. I'll do it next week or whatever. And then he said, you know I'm fickle. Well, look, relationships, that's why we get so frustrated about relationships, because relationships are, you know, people are changing on a regular basis. You know, you find married couples say that, well, you're not the man I married. Well, no, because you married a 19-year-old and now I'm 59 or 69. And I'm different. Are you not the woman I married? Well, there's some stuff that you could do when you were 20, 21 that at 70, 80, you can't do anymore. So people change and we get frustrated with the changes. We see that in elderly couples a lot of times when you can't keep up the pace of doing what you used to do. And people change. And sometimes it can bring frustration and stress. Those of us who are parents and you have watched, you've got now older children, but it was a period where they were you know, little small children, and they were so cute and cuddly, and you get all them hugs and all them kisses and all that good stuff. And then by the time they get teenagers, you know, you got to almost walk like you're on eggshells just to, you know, just say hi in the morning. But before, you know, I got this teenager in my house, you know, but where did my baby go? Were they changing? And you get frustrated with the changes that happen over our life. Where'd my baby go? Lord Jesus. I say that to my daughter all the time. She get mad at me. I say, where my little sweet, that I used to get all them kisses from? Dad. That's what she say to me. Dad, I'm not a baby anymore. And I got to tell her, I says, you my baby, and you going to always be my baby. So I got to force her to kiss her daddy on the cheek and all that good stuff. People change, and we get frustrated with all that change in relationships. Because, you know, sometimes we just don't recognize the person that we came up with or whatever. People can be inconsistent, and they can be unpredictable, and all that can cause stress. We wasn't used to this, them acting like this or responding that way. But the Bible says God always acts like himself. It's the ideal that he never changes. God never acts out of character. Look at Psalms 119, verse 15 says, your love never changes, so save me. Your love never changes. Since you love me, I may be in distress or challenges, so deliver me or save me out of this, because I know you love me. That's what they're saying. I know, God, I know you love me, so get me out of this. Help me through this. Get me around this. I know you love me. He always acts in character. You never hear anybody say, man, what in the world is up with God today? You don't hear that. You hear that about other people. Man, what's wrong with Kenny Ray today? He tripping today. He was all smiles yesterday, and now he all funny style. Won't even speak to me. You don't hear that about God. Man, what's up with God today? Is he tripping? What's going on? No. God is always in character. He always acts according to his character. And God's love never changes for us. He is always himself. Here's the point that I want you to get on your outline. Here's the point. Write this down. I never need to doubt God's love. I never need to doubt God's love. Oh, help me hear somebody. Never do I need to doubt God. No matter what happens, no matter what I do, no matter how I feel, God's love for me never changes. Watch what Paul says. Nothing is able to separate me from the love of God. He gives a personal testimony. Look what he says. I want you to look at it in your Bible because I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Watch what he says. In Romans chapter 8, he says, he gives a list of things, and this is not an exhaustive list. It's just Paul's personal testimony of areas in which God is reminded of God's love for him. He says, what shall separate me from the love of God? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sore? He said, what? All of these things. In other words, he said, no, none of this stuff. And this is just Paul's personal testimony. He just testified to the fact that all of this stuff that he had to go through all of it, he says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Stress or distress or tribulation or trials and all of that. And this is not an exhaustive list. There are other things that we experience on a regular basis that cannot separate us from the love of God. God always loves me, and I don't ever need to doubt whether or not he loves me. No matter what's going on, no matter what tribulation or what trial, what difficulty, what stress, even if I ain't got no food on my table, famine, God still loves me. Are you hearing me? And the truth of the matter is, beloved, We might as well go to bed at night, get up in the morning, and recognize that no matter what, God's love never changes. It never changes for us. He has not changed his mind about loving us while we were sleeping. No, praise be to God. Some days, you know, for me, I don't know if this is just, you know, it's just me. Some days I don't feel like being loving or being loved. I can be grumpy at times and standoffish and persnickety and all this other stuff. And I don't feel like loving. And I don't think nobody loved me. I know nobody loved me. Well, God does. And I'm so grateful God is not like us. You know, we love when we want to love. We don't, you know, cause if we're feeling grumpy or feeling bad or don't feel like talking and all this other stuff. No, God always loves us. And he wants us to recognize that. He is never moody. God never has bad days. I wrote this word down. He is capricious. Ooh, I like that word. I had to look it up. Amen. He is capricious. Amen. He is never erratic or impulsive or unreliable. He's never moody or capricious. He's never fickle. All right, Bobby Joe, if you can hear me, you know what I'm saying. He's never fickle. You know, he is always constant. And we always get into trouble when we doubt God's love. We get into trouble. Well, I wonder, does God love me? Well, yeah, he loves you. He may not like what we're doing or where we at or what's going on, but he loves us. He loves us so much that the Bible declares he has numbered the very hairs on our head. And I like to say it like this. He loves so much, he got hair number one, hair number two, hair number three, hair number four. He done numbered the very hairs on our head. He know how many is up there. He know how many ain't up there. I told y'all my hairline, all that good stuff. He knows, and he loves us in spite of all the challenges. And that ought to be a stabilizer in our life, knowing that God is always consistent in his love for us, that and we don't want to get into trouble trying to figure out whether or not God loves us. When tragedy strikes and we pray and don't get an immediate answer, sometimes we tend to doubt whether or not God loves us or he's with us. His love for us, even in the midst of tragedy, trials, and tribulations, and all this other stuff, his love for us never changes. And that's good to know for a believer that his love never changes. So that's the one thing. Three things about God that never changes. His love for us never, in an ever-changing world, people can be fickle, but God is not. When it comes to his love for us, that love never changes. Here's the second thing that we can rely upon that can bring some stability in our life. It's good to know God loves us. But the second thing is this, God's word never changes. God's word never changes. What I love about the Bible, I was talking to a friend the other day who's telling me that they're going through Psalms 119, and they do that every year. I thought that was good to hear. And it said that every time they go through it during this season, they do it every year and around this time, that they're always seeing something different or fresh that speaks to them. God's word never changes. His word is fresh every day. And it's always relevant. It is always up to date. It is always to help us to grow and to mature. It's never obsolete. And I know we're in a time where this world wants to make the Bible obsolete, that it does not matter, but it does. Anything that man writes becomes obsolete and dated. Go back and look at all of the writings of others, even wording and all of that can be obsolete at a certain period of time. Even when it comes to scientific discovery, when you look at the science books and all of that, what they've discovered, they found different things, but they are always finding. Recently I read somewhere where they just found another galaxy or another planet, or we just don't know. It's always changing. They always become obsolete when it comes to writings or theories or thoughts. Or they thought the world was was flat. Columbus, I think, thought he was going to fall off the edge of the earth, and so they were thinking, and they were writing all of this. But it becomes obsolete. The more that knowledge we get, the more understanding we get, it becomes obsolete. These writings today, even how a lot of times they diagnose people with certain things, and how they try in medical journals and the times past to cure certain things, and all that stuff now is obsolete based upon the more information that we've gotten. But when it comes to God's word, we know that man's ideal, they'll become obsolete. But when it comes to God's word, listen, his word never changes. We need to build our life on something more that is more stable than man's thoughts or theories or ideals. And it is one of the stabilizing forces in the world, if not the only stabilizing force, is the word of God. His word never changes. His word is permanent. His word is unchangeable. It is unchangeable based upon the current fad. I don't care what society says. The certain fad, the certain norm in society, God's word stands true. Are you hearing me? Watch what he says in Matthew chapter 24. Isaiah 40, but then Matthew chapter 24 says the same thing. The grass wither and the flower fades, but the word of God shall stand what? Forever. And when you get to Matthew 24, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. He says, heaven and earth will pass away before my word passes away. Whew, that's deep, y'all. That's deep. Heaven and earth, the earth, the world that we know it is going to be gone in regards to, as it relates to his word. His word will stand forever. And, here's what we know. There's never been any other book more criticized or ridiculed or burned and outlawed than the Bible. And yet, the book is still here. They've tried to outlaw it. They tried to burn it. They tried to not all this other, but yet it is still here. It is still on the bestseller list, all of that. So watch what it says. The Bible's still around. It stood the test of time because his word never changes. That ideal of Psalms 119, verse 152, long ago I learned from your statutes that you establish them forever. They are established forever. If God said it, then it is said, it is done. He has established his word forever. Alan Shepard, the first astronaut, in space, was asked by a reporter just before going into the capsule. He says, what is the one thing you're depending on most in your space venture? And this is what he said. His answer was this. He said, I'm depending on the fact that God's laws never change. Whoo! I'm about to get into this spaceship, and the one thing I'm depending on is that the God I serve never changes. His laws never change. Think about it. What if the rotation of the earth was inconsistent? What if gravity was inconsistent? There are certain laws that never change as it relates to the universe. And he established these universal laws. And I get that. His laws never change. I'm grateful. I'm about to get into the spaceship, and I'm grateful that his law doesn't change. And the reason we can study it is because science of it is because it's predictable. And there are verifiable facts that never change as it comes to God, as it relates to God. Just as God established the universe and universal laws like gravity and all of that, listen, to operate the physical laws, there are moral and spiritual laws that God set up that we cannot ignore. If it's in his word, we can't ignore it. Thou shalt not kill. Moral law. Should we, well, you know. No, it's a moral law set up. You remember when you were growing up and you had a cat that you was playing ball with or playing hopscotch with or whatever, and they kept changing the rules? Every time you, well, no, this is the out over here. No, well, it was just right here, but they kept changing the rules. You never win if you got a cat that's changing the rules. Same way it is. You don't win when we change the rules. Just because society changes the rules doesn't mean God has changed his rules. Are you listening to me? There are in this world some absolutes, and that's one of the things that we've got to understand. There are some absolutes. Well, people say nowadays there are simply no absolutes. How can you know what is moral and what is not moral? What is right and what is not right? Well, it is because of God's word. That's where we have to get our laws, moral laws that do not change. Now, I know if God say don't have sex outside of marriage, it's a moral law. It shouldn't change. It's there. Now, do we? Yeah, people have sex outside of marriage and all this other stuff, but it's still a moral law that does not, don't steal, don't kill. All those are moral laws. You can't keep changing the rules based upon how we feel. And if God has said it in his word, there are certain things that they just don't change. And the temptation is this, and here it is on your outline. The temptation is this, and this is from Satan. Satan gets us to question God's word. That's where a lot of Christians go off the track, because it's almost like in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, where Satan whispers in Eve's ear, did God really say you cannot eat of the tree? Did he really say that? Or did he really mean that? That's the ideal, you know, Satan, that's the temptation. Satan gets us to question whether or not God's word is true. Or is that what God said in his word? Did God really say you couldn't eat that or you couldn't do that? Or is that applicable for us today? Are you listening to me? The fact is God's word has not changed. Now, when you come up against in this world, you come up a stop sign. Because here's what people say. Well, that's your interpretation. I get it. That's what you say. I'm doing this because that's what you know, I be seeing my daughter do, you know. So when you come up against a stop sign, do you decide at the stop sign, well, my interpretation is I don't slow down. I'm just interpreting stop to mean I kind of slide through here. Well, that's how accidents happen in life, because you can't interpret the stop sign only but one way. And when it comes to God's word, there's laws of interpretation of how we interpret the word of God and how consistent God's word is and all of that. And you say, well, that's man's interpretation, or man did that. No, you got to interpret. There are certain moral laws in there that are right, and there are certain things that we understand as wrong, right and wrong, and we understand that. And God has written it in his word, and his word does not change. Stop means stop. Stop don't mean slow down, because if you're just slowing down, then you're going to get into an accident eventually if you come to every stop sign and you just slow down and ride on through. Are you hearing me? Same way it is with the Word of God. His Word never changes. And Satan gets us to question whether or not God really said that. Watch what he says, and that's Matthew chapter 7, not chapter 5. Matthew chapter 7. Everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Notice he says that. He says, and he talks about the storm coming in that seventh chapter. The storms come and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and the house fell simply because it was not built upon the right foundation, which is the rock. These words of mine. That's what Jesus said. These words of mine. And a house crumbles if it's built on the wrong foundation. Our own theory, our own thought, what we think, how we feel. We're building on those foundations other than what God's word says. He says the house falls. Read that chapter. I love that scripture because I have a sermon that's out that says, when it's built on the right foundation, God prepares us, gives us the best of life. That John 10:10, we'll look at that verse. That I have come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. When we build on the right foundation, we get the best of life. But we find out that also when we build on the right foundation, it's built for the storms of life. When the storms of life come, the winds blow and all that, you'll find out. And that is building on these words of mine, the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, his way and his word. Are you listening to me? That's the ideal. There are two ways to build a house. We can build it on the rock, that's Jesus, or we can build it eventually on the wrong thing and it will fall over. God says build your life not on the current fad, not on current therapy, not on the current growth group, not on what we read in our empowerment. You can't build your life on empowerment, because the only empowerment that we have comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we do is spiritual. Are you listening to me? So the ideal is building on the solid foundation. He who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. And we want to be wise and build our house on the solid rock. God's love never changes for me. God's word never changes. It will always be the right thing to do. It may seem hard. It may seem unreasonable. It may seem even unpopular among your friends, among the people you care about. But listen, if we recognize that God's word never changes and we're building our life on that, listen, we will always find the right thing to do. It simplifies life. It makes it easier. God says this, so I'm going to live my life according to this. It just simplifies life. And if I try to build it on fads and theories and all this other stuff, that stuff changes. But here's something that I found, his word, that never changes. It simplifies it. I know it may be hard, but it simplifies it. I know it may be unpopular, but it makes it a little bit simpler to follow what I know never changes, and that is the word of God. Instead of asking your friends, somebody else, because you question not who you really need to listen to. When you say, I hear what you're saying, homie, a homegirl, but let me see what the book say. Let me see what God says in his word concerning this. See, it simplifies life, because you're going to have one girlfriend tell you one thing Then the next other girlfriend, girl, I wouldn't take that. I wouldn't do, ooh, Lord Jesus. No, I wouldn't do that. Then the other one say, yeah, well, you know, just hang in there and, you know, it's going to be okay. And, yeah, well, who do you listen to? Well, folk change, but God doesn't. And so it just simplifies it. Well, let me find out first what God says. And then let me hear from those folk I trust and I love and I know love me. It simplifies it, you know, because sometimes I've come to discover that people believe everything they hear and see on television and all that. But why is it so hard for us to believe God's word? We're going to believe. I'm dating myself. There ain't no more Sally Jesse, huh? Sally Jesse and Oprah, Phil Donahue. We believe Dr. Phil. You know, ooh, Dr. Phil said. I had some folk in my life, they were quoting, oh, Dr. Oz said this. And, you know, well, it sounds good. But you can't believe everything you hear on television and everything. You gotta be able to find something that is stable and reliable, and that is God's word. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall stand forever. What the point I'm trying to make? I know it's in here somewhere. Here's the point. Stability comes from building my life on God's unchangeable word. That's the point I'm making. Stability. You want to build on something? Build it on God's unchanging word. Stability comes from building my life on God's unchanging word. Put that on your outline, right? Is that that's the point I'm trying to make? I got you the temptation. Yes, the point is this. Build my life on God's unchangeable word. Don't listen to the advice of my friends. They just may be as wrong as I am. Hello, somebody. I build my life on something that never changes. God's word was consistent 50 years ago, and it is consistent now. It was consistent 1,000 years ago, and it will be consistent 1,000 years from now. God's word is consistent. Here's the stress stabilizer in our life, and that's this. If you want to reduce stress, memorize scripture. Put that in that right there. Memorize scripture. Put that scripture to memory. Hello, somebody. Because if you want a more stable life and you're under stress, it's the word of God that is going to help stabilize us. That's a stress stabilizer because the Bible won't always be with you. We got to start filling our mind with the word of God so that when stuff comes up, we can just recall scripture and what God said in his word. Some trouble comes up. Bible says, I can cast all my cares upon the Lord, for he cares for me. Something happens unexpected in my life. I recognize that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Remember? When Jesus was tempted by Satan, he just started recalling scripture. He was hungry after 40 days of fasting. And here comes Satan and said, man, I know you got to be hungry. Man, why don't you just holler at them stones and turn them stones to bread? And I don't think Jesus blinked. I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't think he did. And he said, man, look, Satan, look, man, look. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. He just started quoting scripture on it. Why don't you just come fall down? You know, just start quoting. He pulled it when he was tempted, when all of us tempted by it. He just pulled it. And it seemed, see how he handled it. It just seemed like Jesus was calm, cool, and collected because when Satan shot those lies at him, watch this. Satan, Jesus just shot back with the calmness of scripture. You want to destabilize stress in your life? You want to have a stress stabilizer? We got to recall scripture. And we got to get past John 3:16 And, you know, everybody know that one. And Romans 8, 28 and 29. I mean, but start remembering the promises of God, what God has said in his word. That'll help us. Hello, somebody. So, three things about God that never changes. One, God's love for me never changes. Hallelujah. God's word never changes. And we got to memorize scripture, be a stabilizer. And then the third thing is this: God's purpose for my life will never change. God's purpose for my life will never change. God's purpose for my life will never change. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely I have planned it, and so it will be. As I have purpose, so it will stand. God has a purpose for our life, and God's purpose for our life never changes. God is at work in human history, and that history is his story. It is God's purposes for this world, for mankind, and even God's purposes for my life. What the world is coming to, we got to realize as we study 1 Thessalonians that the world is coming to a climax. There is an end to all of this stuff. And he has a set in motion his purposes for now and the end time and the church age and the age to come. And his purposes will stand forever. It is not going to change. Get that? So when we look at the big picture and the larger scheme of things, what we see in the Bible about what's happening and what's going to happen, his purposes for all that he did never changed. Jesus was always, from the very beginning of the foundation of the world, he was already on his way. Hello, somebody. And I know they were looking for the Messiah. He was on his way. And that's why John had to go back and say, are you the one, or shall we look for another? And Jesus told John's disciples, go tell them that the people are being healed. Men are being set. You know, he said, go show them, tell them what's happening and what's going on. That I am, in fact, the Messiah, the one that you've been looking for. You ain't got to look for another. Let them know what all of this stuff's going on. So the purposes that was going to happen was always going to happen because God set them in motion from the very beginning. That's good to know because it also helps me to understand that his purposes for my life will never change. What God has planned from the very beginning. Sure. And listen. We don't know everything that the future holds, but what we do know is who holds the future. The Bible says nobody knows, but even the Son of Man do not know. Only the Father in heaven knows what's coming and when it's coming. And if someone ever comes up to you and gives you a date and all this other stuff, I already told you, the Bible is clear. No man knows the hour. I got some folk in my life telling me, oh, he about to come. He, you know, this is about to happen and blah, 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 blah. And I don't listen to that stuff because the Bible says don't nobody know. But one thing I do know is I know, I don't know the future, but I know who holds the future. That's God himself. And I do know that in Christ, I'm on the winning side. And if you in Christ, you're on the winning side as well. That's good news. And watch what he says in Psalms 33, verse 11. His plans endure forever. His purpose lasts eternally. Listen, ask yourself this. Does your plans ever change? They do. I know they do. Listen, how often do they change? They change for two reasons. Number one, they change because your perspective and foresight to know everything that's going to happen. We don't have that. We don't know what's going to happen. So our plans change. We think, well, I planned out this thing to happen this time, and this is what's going to happen. No, our foresight and our perspective changes. That's why our plans change. You know, well, I heard a brother tell me one day, well, you know, God told me to do such and such. And then it didn't happen. So I kind of wanted to go back and say, well, did God really tell you that was going to happen? No. Our foresight and our perspective changes. We think one thing, even though God never changes, our foresight, we have to change course and plans and all that stuff, because you all often say to yourself, boy, if I know now, if I knew then what I know now, well, you didn't. And you didn't know now, you didn't know then what you know now. Now that you know now, things change. Help me hear somebody. You don't make the same mistakes because things change. You got a different perspective and understanding. The other reason that our plans change is sometimes we just don't have the power to implement. I ain't got the money. I don't got the time. I don't got the energy. I ain't got the effort, whatever. So plans change. I wanted to do this. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to, we got two, we got new stools for our counter at the house. And so my plan was to go put them stools together all in one shot. I put the first one together. Then I called my son. I said, man, you got to come help me put this thing. He came to help me put the second one together. And I said, man, I'm done for the day. I didn't have the energy to keep putting the rest of them together. So I got my plans changed. I just didn't have the energy. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about taking one of them back. Amen. Because I don't, come on, help me somebody. But since God is omniscient, he knows everything, he's omnipotent, he has all power, his plans never change. He knows all, he has all power, he ain't got to be changing all in the midstream and all of that. God is not a man. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29, he does not change his mind. Are there sometimes in the Bible where God changed? Yes. But it wasn't God who changed. It was the people who changed. Remember when he said, Nineveh, if you don't repent, I'm going to destroy the city. But Nineveh turned around. That was homeboy's issue. He knew who God was. And if they had repented, God was going to save them and deliver them. And Jonah didn't want that. So God, you know, he doesn't change his will, but he does change. He said, if you don't do this, then I'm going to do that. And the people honored what God said, turned around. And so we see God, there's changes that God made. But he didn't change his will, amen, but he did will some change in the life of the Ninevites and others where God changed. So the point is this, no matter what problems I got, here's the point. Problems can't change God's purpose. Ooh, I'm about to get deep on you real quick. It's almost time to go. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 6 says, God's ways are eternal. Here's what I want you to know. God doesn't have a plan B for your life. I can say all day, I should have been in the NBA. I thought I was good enough. I don't know. If I'd have just had this break or that break or this break, if I'd have did, no, there wasn't no plan B. God knew, I just be telling myself that. God knew I was going to be where I am right now. Ain't no plan B. It was all part of God's plan. And matter of fact, the challenges that I had to go through to get me where I am today was part and parcel to the plan of God. That's why we shout about Romans 8:28 and that idea that all things work together for good. Even the tough and the difficult and the challenges that we've had in our life, God worked that all out to get us where we are today, right now. His plans didn't change. Listen, we had to change our plans to accommodate his will. And God navigated life in such a way that we got to where we are right now. Sometimes, beloved, it just blows you away how you come full circle. I marvel at the fact that I accepted Christ over at the old church Easter Sunday morning, 1984, and here I am now, the pastor of the church. Listen, and From that day to even right now, God navigated the difficulties and the challenges and the blessings of my life to get me to where I am. His plans didn't change. This was his plan all along. I ain't know that. I thought I was to be shooting jumpers on somebody in the NBA. God didn't call me to make millions. He called me to save millions. Woo! Help me hear somebody. So his word, and sometimes you hear people say, I made a big mistake. Well, that sound good, all that. You still on plan A, because even in the big mistake, you think God didn't know that the mistake was going to be made? Hello, somebody. That's why you have testimony after testimony of tragic events or pregnancies or other stuff that happened to people in their life that you think God didn't know that? Yeah, he knew that. Even the bad or the tough stuff, that's how God made you who you are right now. Oh, my goodness. You learned some good lessons along life, but God's purpose didn't change for your life. You're still there. John 10:10. What's his purpose for our life? Listen, John 10:10. I have come, the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God, his purpose for our life, beloved, is that there ought to be some joy out of, there's some abundance out of life. And he knows what that purpose is, what's going to bring us purpose, contentment, fulfillment, and joy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's talking about life eternal, but also when you find your purpose on life earthly. He gives you purpose and meaning. And as much as I complain about wanting to do something else or sell cars, my main purpose in life is to be doing what I'm doing. And God got me to this place. Same way it is in your life, beloved. His purpose for you didn't change. Watch what it says. That ideal there, and I'm almost done, that ideal of Romans 8:29 is that God's purpose for us, when you read the 29th verse, is that he is to conform us really to the image of his son, that we become more and more like Christ. That all this stuff that we've gone through in verse 28, that all these things work together is because he wants us to look more and more like Jesus, act more like Jesus, talk more like Jesus, walk more like Jesus. Are you hearing me? It's the ideal. And you all read that Ephesians passage, because that Ephesians passage says that he really literally chose us in advance. I like that. He predestined us, and everything worked out according to his plan. He says that our lives will bring praise and glory to God. That's what God wants. That's the purpose for our life. That ain't changing. No matter how much trouble we've had, difficulty we had, that is not changing. That our lives bring glory to God. The other thing that doesn't change is God's plan of salvation. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That doesn't change. Hallelujah. God, it begins with relationship with him. God wants us in relationship with him. That's why he says, I am the way. I'm the way. That there's no other way. That plan that God has for us to be in relationship with him, the plan of salvation, does not change. I don't care if you walk down the aisle. I don't care if you sign the commitment card. I don't care if you called a number on the television. The plan is still the same, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hello, somebody. The question becomes is, you know, when all these challenges come, how do we respond to them? You know, so that doesn't change. And here's what we see. And I'm done. Three things we got to remember under stress. These are absolute facts. Number one, God never stops loving me. When I'm stressful, I need to know, no matter how bad or tough it is, God never stops loving me. Two, God's word is always right. If I'm going to look for advice, I need to look for it in God. And number three, God's purpose for my life is bigger than my problems. Watch the stability of God. Those who trust in the Lord are as steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by circumstance. Is that not stability and security? Look at that. Yes, it is, unmoved by circumstances. Why? Because I'm dependent on God. I'm trusting God. And so whatever comes my way, no matter how stressful or difficult it is, I know I'm a little 7 minutes over. I'm going to blame somebody up there in the booth because we started 2 minutes late. So here's what I'm saying. This stability, this immutability of God can create stability in our life when I realize no matter what, God loves me, His word doesn't change. And even though I got problems, His purpose never changes in my life. All of those challenges got me to where I am right now. And even problems does not thwart the plan of God for our life. Look, I'm done. I think I did good. Come on now, I did good. I did good. I tried to get through this whole outline. I got through it. Because are we having Bible study next week? Okay, we're back. Bible study next week. I think that's the last one before we go on to kind of a small hiatus and sabbatical. Not me. I'm just talking about for Bible study. And the church will be closed. The office will be closed. We'll still be tuning in to listen out for whatever challenges that we have. But note that we got one more Bible study for this, and then we'll pick it back up in the new year. The new year is coming. Praise be to God. Listen, a couple of things I want you to pray for as we close. And I know I'm keeping you a little bit longer, but listen, pray for our pastor emeritus. I had the privilege of talking to him yesterday, it was just such a delight to hear his voice and to be able to know that what I believe, he's going to be okay. So let's keep lifting him in prayer. He is in the hands of Almighty God, and I know you got a lot of questions out there. Listen, don't worry about what's going on with him or what it is. Just pray to God that God give him strength, that God heals. And we trust that our God is still the great physician. Okay, is that all right to say? Remember, we do have New Year's Eve service on New Year's Eve. We are preparing for that. You'll hear the time and the date. We won't hold you until 12 midnight like we used to do, why we called it watch meeting, because there's too many folk out there doing crazy stuff, and we don't want to be out there. We want to be at home with a roof over our head and a cup of cocoa with marshmallows and counting the day down for the new year. All right, I'm done. I'll see you Sunday. Invite somebody to church this Sunday. I appreciate all those who have tuned in online. Listen, it's time for some of y'all to come back to church. Some of the reasons why you ain't back ain't got nothing to do with the pandemic. You just chilling. So come on. I'll see you Sunday. God bless. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you. Thank you for your immutability. Thank you that you never change. We're grateful that you love us and that love never changes. Thank you for your word, which never changes. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall stand forever. Then thank you, oh God, that your purpose for us never changes, that you bring about your plans and purposes for our life, and that no matter what happens in our life, you get us where you want us to be. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, I'll see you Sunday.